A mochi moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.
And then, from the field of the future, a new king will come to save the world of the past.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. We've completed G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra. Time to do some other nonsense. Like King Arthur and the Knights of Justice. A show about King Arthur, sort of, but not really. We'll get into it. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
Did we do a G.I. Joe movie? I have
Don't
no
you even?
Recollection.
You defended it for three straight episodes of this show.
That doesn't sound like me.
That doesn't sound like you at all. No, that makes sense. Who are you?
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
And we are not joined by TV's Gina Ippolito. Get those thoughts out of your head right now. She's not here, I don't think. She could be here, but she's not.
But she could be here, just not turn her camera on. We don't know.
Just not turn her. We don't know what she's doing. At any point, who knows? So instead, we have a very special guest who's been on the show in limited capacity before. We've got on his podcast, it seems only fair, formerly known as Psycho Andy, now known as Retro Andy. Andy Costello, how you doing? Bring it on into here.
Bring it on. What's up? Hi. I used to be Psycho, then I got old. I'm Retro now.
You started collecting things in a non-psychotic manner.
Oh, yeah, we'll go with that, I guess. I don't know that I would call it non-psychotic, but...
I feel like anybody born before 1990 understands that trajectory of like, yeah, we're gonna fucking do it, man! Yeah! To, you know, things were better back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, once we had hanging chads, everything went to shit.
It's really crazy because I feel like the worse the world gets, the better life gets for me. And I don't like it, but I'm still here for it.
If you could share that amongst your fellow white people, Ray, I'd appreciate that a little bit.
It's really a Los Angeles thing, unfortunately.
Yeah, Phoenix is not Los Angeles. Although
it's not the same.
It was 103 out today, so I don't know how hot it was in L.A.
That's a great question.
We probably got some of your leftover heat.
I would not know.
No, it's in the 80s here right now. It's not so bad.
Okay. February.
Yeah, that's... Since you haven't left your house since February, Chan?
Well, wow. No, because he apparently needs to pretend to walk everywhere in the entire city.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I am everywhere in spirit.
Well, no, that's true. And in terror. Andy, we are talking about King Arthur and the Knights of Justice, an episode called The Cure. First question, is this about Robert Plant?
Meant to say Robert Smith.
I did, and I said it wrong on purpose.
Robert Plant. Sure.
As soon as I said it, I go, that was the wrong guy, and I am not getting away with it on this show.
Might as well face it, you're addicted to love. Might as well face it, you're addicted to love. Might as well face it.
So The Cure sang Addicted to Love.
Yeah, that is correct.
Isn't that Robert Palmer?
That was Robert Palmer, Chan.
Oh, shit. Wasn't that a third? Oh, we all did it. You can't make fun of me for it anymore. You did it worse.
I certainly can, because you know what? I'm committed to the bit. Even
when
I was wrong.
At this point now, I'm hoping that Andy gives us a Robert Griffin III football reference, but I don't think it's coming.
I have no love songs, just pieces of you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
He got there. We did it. probably end the show right there. I don't think it's
going to be better we're good. At this moment. Yeah.
It never does get better, the Knights of Justice. And yet we still continue to do the show.
No, that will not stop us. Andy, you've done extensive research. You brought this to our attention. So when we were looking for a special show because things had to move around and we couldn't get Gina because she's locked into a very tight schedule, watch the new Rockstars channel and some new thing happening in October. She won't quite exactly say what it is.
I bet it has something to do with sweet, sweet cartoon butts.
I mean, if we're lucky.
If I know anything about Gina, it's pretty much that.
She is the industry leader in sweet cartoon butts.
Yeah.
Cartoon buttology.
It's not her business card.
Speaking of sweet cartoon butts, King Arthur and the Knights of Justice.
There were none. There were no sweet cartoon butts here. Butts that we saw were fully armored.
And, yeah.
None of them.
No. This show is pretty butt, actually. I actually remember watching the premiere of this show as a kid.
Oh, my.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks. It was Saturday morning in September of 1992, and my mom was a big Arthurian legend fan, still is. And
even after watching this?
Well, she was still sleeping. And I was like, oh, hey, a King Arthur cartoon. That could be fun. And then I watched it. And so you guys did not watch the pilot episode for this. You just jumped right in. Chan picked episode 24.
That's what he does.
Of 26. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the premise of this show is King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table have been kidnapped, captured by Queen Morgana and her warlords, who are all made of stone. And Merlin decides he needs a replacement Knights of the Round Table, replacement King Arthur. So he travels through time and ends up in the modern day, the then modern day of 1992, where he abducts, basically recruits a college football team called the Knights, whose quarterback is named Arthur King.
And you know, SEAL Team 6 existed at this time. I'm just saying.
Not other options. Not in 5th century Camelot, Ray.
And if I'm going
all the way through time, I'm not getting like the 98th best college football team of 1992 to take over the kingdom.
This was not my decision. I am not Merlin. This is just what he thought was best.
The SEALs named Arthur or King
Lance.
It makes perfect. Yeah,
Breeze.
Absolutely.
1992. He could have had King Mabel and the entire WWF stable of champions around that time.
You're referencing Men on a Mission, who did not appear until 1993, and Mabel was not King until 1995.
Whoa. Who just got schooled?
I'll be honest, I knew he was King Mabel, and I thought in 94, but I thought I could get away with it. Not on this show, not on your life.
No. Gina, you could slide it past Gina. Can't slide that past Andy.
I feel like I could have slid it past you, too, quite honestly, Chan.
Probably, yeah, yeah.
Tremendous reference, and I stand by it. Because, by the way, he's in 5th century England. He could have gone to 1994, Andy.
Oh, yeah, he could have. He didn't. Made the right choice. No, I'm going to back up Arthur King and the Knights of the Knights over King Mabel and Sir Mo.
Wow.
Yeah, but then you could also take with you. You got Diesel, the Undertaker. You could have taken all the crew of 1994. Bret Hart. I feel like you would have done a better job than these guys.
What are they going to do against warlords made of stone, Ray?
What is a college football team going to do? The same shit. But more athletically.
You're talking about Diesel being more athletic?
Very stellar athlete, that Kevin Nash.
Yeah, until his knee surgeries that ended his basketball career and forced him into wrestling.
Tremendous talent in the ring and out of the ring.
I will say, if you have stone opponents, like a pile driver would be exactly the thing that you'd want to use.
That is true. That's a good point.
He could have gone and gotten Stone Cold Steve Austin to stun them all into submission.
He would have turned on them and joined the stone guys. Are you mad?
He was big face at that time, Chan. That heel turn did not work.
Not in 92, he wasn't.
In 92, he was a nobody. So you have to advance forward even further to 99.
Was he? When he's champion. stunning Steve by that point.
92, I think he still was. Yeah. He might have still been the Hollywood Blondes.
Yes.
The arguably. Point is, I'd rather talk about 90s pro wrestling than the King Arthur and the Knights of Justice.
Well,
and
shit,
I feel like I'm accomplishing that goal.
We could do that. New Generation was totally my era.
Thank you.
No, we have to get to this Bananarama song first off.
All right.
And then, from the field of the future,
the field of the future,
to save the world of the past.
Hot summer streets and the pavement is a...
That theme song wants to be a banger so hard, and it just doesn't get there.
Oh, blasphemy.
Hot take.
Oh, I 100% disagree. This song should have won the theme song throwdown, and it would have been a 1 second guest spot when I was on last time, because I would have just picked King Arthur and Knights of Justice.
It's a poser banger. It's not a banger.
It's by Shuki Levy, who did the X-Men theme. So
Levy and Saban are well known on this program.
Sure. Yeah,
they have a great many songs. So if you're going to pick out the one, I'm going to show you 19 that were dog shit.
That's fair. That's fair.
And what was the market difference between this theme song and the Power Rangers theme song?
Mostly the lyrics.
Yeah,
this one wasn't
the
go-go
version back to back. I don't know that we see a lot.
Yeah, I mean, this one wasn't go-go Arthur Rangers.
Maybe it should have been. I wrote my first note here is it's kind of got good costume design, and then by the end of the episode, I wrote a note that said this is dog shit costume design. So apparently, somewhere while watching the show, I changed my mind.
I will say my first note was that. Why do the fucking helmets have expressions? Like, one of them was, like, surprised, and his, like, eye holes went, like, boop. I'm like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, look, here's the thing about this show. One, it's not great. Two, even if it was great, it came out the week after Batman the Animated Series.
Wow, that is...
And a month before X-Men.
Wow.
and it's
the Titanfall of kids cartoon shows of the 90s.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Not very good and overshadowed by everything else that came out around it.
Well, I'm sorry. Titanfall was a masterpiece.
Played a video game.
Also came out the week after Call of Duty and the week before Battlefield.
Oh,
good luck with your shooter.
Yeah, right? Then the second season of King Arthur and Knights of Justice came out a couple weeks after Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and the same day as Animaniacs. So,
oh my God,
at no time was this show going to be a success.
that's a rough call.
Yeah.
Unless you're getting either of those as your lead in.
And it was not because it wasn't on Fox.
It's over.
So, yeah. This show was created by Jean Chalopin. And his company C&D, Creativité et Développement.
So this is a French show, right? It felt very French.
French Canadian, yeah. All the voice actors were Canadian.
I'll take it.
Jean Chalopin, you might know as the original founder of Deke, before Andy Hayward basically ousted him and took it over.
Mm. Oh, okay. So Deke when it was good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Inspector Gadget was Jean Chalopin. Everything after that was Andy Hayward, for the
Inspector
most part.
Inspector Gadget
was all right. We got to give our props to Inspector Gadget.
Yeah. Those are kind of all the. Oh, the one thing I did want to say is a couple weeks ago or before the G.I. Joe movie, you guys did an episode of Maxie's World, which was a Deke cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
And you noted, you were like, oh, I recognize that name, Andy Hayward. And you kept going. You went through all the shows he worked on.
That's right.
He was the president of Deke, guys.
It makes
sense. He worked on every Deke show.
I've since done a little bit of a dive, and I found that out. And I was like, well, doesn't that make all the sense in the world?
Yeah, yeah.
Why
he
is the center of our problems?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, who's the, oh my gosh, why am I blanking on the one TV writer, a kids writer, who every time he shows up, I know I'm about to see the worst episode of the show I could possibly see.
Oh, is it Bob Forward?
It is, in fact, Bob Forward.
Yeah. The guy that wrote most of Beast Wars.
Oh, yeah. What are the odds that would be true? Yeah, Bob Forward, my nemesis. Thank you. I all of a sudden blanked out his name.
I'm going to represent the segment of your fandom, of your fans that defends Beast Wars.
Well, Andy, it was nice having you on the show. Thank you very much for your time. Where can the people find you?
Ooh, boy, glad that was over.
People still bring up Beast Wars in a positive way, Chan. I know you're not on social media the way I am. Mm-hmm. I got to hear about Beast Wars like at least once a month from somebody, and it just doesn't make sense to me. Why is this a beloved show when it's the biggest pile of crap I've ever seen?
Because it's your James Bond is whoever, you know, your first interaction was with, your favorite wrestler, time period of wrestling is, you know, like when you were a kid. And some people just flipped on the TV and Beast Wars was there and they just imprinted like a little birdie, like a dumb little birdie. Mm.
Now, I will say I was pissed at Beast Wars when it first started because I was a G1 Transformers kid.
Okay.
Also, Beast Wars interrupted my watching of Sailor Moon for a couple of days while they aired the pilot.
That's absurd.
Yeah. Brutal. Yeah. But after the show like came out proper, I gave it another chance. I went in with a clear mind, and I will say,
Stockholm syndrome set in, and you're like, I can't leave, but I guess I love this thing now. Ah.
Well, that's kind of Transformers in general, right? You guys know, you're all G.I. Joe fans. 10 years later, still, somehow.
You mean the greatest cartoon of the 80s? Yes, I am still a fan.
Yeah, so you get it.
I'm not going to say 90s, 2000s, or 2010s. You'll see. But I will say the 1980s.
Yeah. I did just pick up all of the Sunbow G.I. Joe on DVD, incidentally. You guys finally, you haven't done an episode of that in long enough that I was like, I need a fix. I got to watch this again.
I don't blame you. You know they're all free on YouTube, right?
Yeah, yeah. I want to be able to watch it without being connected to the internet or giving Google any money or attention.
Is this why you don't own a fridge? You're afraid it's tracking you?
No, I own a fridge.
Oh. Maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
Yeah.
Not just like a cardboard box with a big chunk of ice in it. Just to be clear. We're talking about an actual living fridge.
It's an actual fridge. Well, it did come with the apartment. I guess I don't own it. It when I move out.
Oh, you can take it with you.
Uh-huh. Can I? Hmm.
Why not? Who's stopping you?
I guess physics.
The owners of the place.
Like they're going to be there when you move out and take the fridge with you.
Why are there tanks in this, Andy?
Great question.
That is a wonderful question, and I wish I had the answer to it.
There's some dude is like flying around in what looked like, you know, some sort of robotic wingsuit, and I'm like, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Somehow we're good there.
Fucking tanks, and I couldn't tell who are the good tanks, who are the bad tanks.
Yeah.
Were there good tanks? I thought they were all bad tanks.
Well, so Arthur and the knights all have horses, and some of those horses have like bits that they pull that have very basic fireworks or magical ones because, you know, Merlin, right?
Are some of those horses also ATVs?
Not the horse, but the thing around it is kind of, yeah. There's now,
the horses are riding ATVs?
No.
What is going on here?
Now the warlords are completely magical, right? Their whole thing is just magic. And then the Purple Horde, they're only in like 3 or 4 episodes and only in the second season. So, right. And this episode that you picked is the last time they show up.
To be fair, I mean, I saw there are a whole bunch of Asian knights. I'm like, hold the phone.
Yeah.
What's happening here? And how bad is it going to be?
Could
have been worse.
I'll be honest, I didn't think this was too bad, but I'm not the arbiter. I'll say that.
No, you're not.
No, which this has been made very clear to me on the show. I feel like I'm a great judge of what should and should not be and what is acceptable, but I have been told through mediated lawyers that that is in fact not the case.
Indeed.
The whole plot here is that there's a castle that all our heroes are in. And they're being siege blockaded by these rock monsters, and they're trying to break the blockade to bring food in to break the siege. If our heroes are so badass, why don't they just deal with it?
Deal with what? The
people blockading the castle.
They do. They get through.
So why are we having such a problem that we need to, I don't understand, clean them out? You know, if you would have taken the 1990s WWF stable of champions, you would not have this problem in episode 24.
Ray, they're not alive. They're magical golems. They are.
I know that about 1990s WWF champions, but I still think he should have chosen them.
I mean, look, if he had pulled Mantor, all right, maybe we could have that discussion.
Get the Shockmaster in there.
That was WCW.
Mantor, RoboCop probably comes around somehow.
Yeah, so the thing about the Warlords is they're effectively immortal, but they're also not really alive. So they get defeated all the time, right? This, Morgana's always like, oh, we have to go kill Merlin. Oh, we have to go capture this Arthur, too. Right? And you go, Warlords, you go get in the way.
And they're stone golems, so you can kill them,
right?
Completely explode them, and then they come right back, which is very helpful in a cartoon.
Perfect
like
for
this.
Kids' cartoon.
I'm so glad you explained that, because I literally have a note here being like, why does every person on the bad guys' team get hit and then it just becomes a helmet and a pile of rocks?
Yeah,
this makes a lot of sense.
Oh man, that part where Arthur just bisects Blackwing, just cuts him right in half with the sword, and he just falls all to pieces. That was really violent for this show, actually. That doesn't happen normally.
It's not bad. Did you guys enjoy all the football references made by people with the mildest passing knowledge of football?
Oh, boy. Fight like second stringers, head to the goal line, touchdown guys, let's head for the locker room.
An end run to get these supplies in the castle.
So I made some notes, especially when they clumped together. I'm like, stop. Stop this right now.
It is almost every battle sequence. There are a bunch of football references. I again want to point out this is a French and Canadian cartoon.
So they don't have
American football team. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So all things considered, you know, they seem to be doing all right with it. But I'm also not a huge football guy. So I you know, it sounds fine to me.
I am not a football guy, I noticed how awful it was, then that's not a good sign.
But was it awful because it was an NFL video game for mobile once.
Yeah,
that a lot of the designers were in Brazil and the testing team was in India. And wouldn't you believe it? Once I got on the project, it didn't look like football very much because nobody knew what football was.
Yeah. Huh. I mean,
sadly, that game is not around anymore.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's a bummer. Anyway, Chang is to blame. And you know what? I like this. As soon as they start saying Chan is to blame and they start saying it over and over again, I'm like, I get it.
You know, it's funny. In one of the other episodes, they do reveal that Chang's full name is, in fact, Robert Clark Chang.
I knew it. It was very obvious from the print.
I think the important takeaway here.
Chang does not fail.
So, let's
that one instead. Is that the new hashtag, Ray is right, hashtag Chan does not fail? Because I think it should be.
You know what? Hashtag sweet, sweet cartoon butts.
If I were on any social media platform that used hashtag, sure.
Chan, you could use hashtags in anything, Signal even, but what weirdo besides the defense secretary would be on there?
To be fair, I'm also on Blue Sky, and so if you must, feel free.
No, you said social media. It can't be social media if there's literally no one there but you.
I see.
I'm on Blue Sky.
Yeah.
In theory, I'm on Blue Sky, too.
Yeah, you were trying to defend vampires to me on Blue Sky one time.
You know what? I log into Blue Sky once every 3 months or so, because that's when I remember it's on my phone. And I look at the one person, it's usually you, who is messaging me on there, and I will respond to you.
Yeah, thanks.
And I will defend vampires. Better show than Beast Wars.
Blasphemy.
You didn't think you were coming here for this much Beast Wars hate, but you did.
No, I knew what I was
getting
into.
You did it to yourself.
I knew what I was getting into. I've listened to almost every episode of your show.
That's better than all of us.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, we're going to tell it to Morgana and Viper, who are the two leaders of the bad guys. I love it. It's just like, I'm going to go tell on you. What a bad guy.
Yeah.
What a villain.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happened is during the fight, the Purple Horde and the Warlords have like this uneasy alliance, right? Because they're both trying to take down Arthur and the Knights. And during the fight, the Purple Horde, you can't really tell by the animation, so you have to kind of listen to the dialogue here. I guess the Purple Horde just kind of kept letting attacks go by, like let the Knights win, basically, and the Warlords couldn't do anything about it for some reason. And then Chang reveals to Morgana and Viper, oh yeah, my people are sick. They've got Skiffleupagus or whatever.
They've got the striking typhus.
Striking typhus, yes.
No, Skiffleupagus sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh no, yeah, that's the phonetical way to say it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Skiffleupagus.
Snuffleupagus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So then Morgana said, Chang mentions their symptoms, and Morgana recognizes it right away and says, yeah, go back to your castle. You and your men go there, and I will heal you magically. And Chang's like, oh, okay, that sounds good. Great. And as soon as he leaves, she reveals to Viper, yeah, it's striking typhus, which is basically going to kill them.
But she says, here's the deal. Her plan is send them back to the front lines. We're going to use this as a weapon. Keep in mind that plot point for later in this episode where she very explicitly won't do that.
No, no. Okay. So she does two things. She says, leave the Purple Horde and at their base, and then put the Warlords as a siege line in front of them so that the Knights can't do anything to help them.
That's the point. If she wants to use the virus as a weapon, she probably wants the virus around the people she's trying to kill.
No.
She doesn't want to use the virus as a weapon. She just wants them to die. She's basically quarantining them so that they just die.
It's basically Legion season one.
It's basically Legionnaires' disease season one. The two of them have been working together, and now she says it somewhere in here that like she's sick of them and
she wants them to die. I got that.
Yeah.
She's not going to weaponize
them as a weapon.
No.
They just go back and all die.
That's not what
typhus is a weapon, Ray.
Yeah.
So I do real quick. I do want to sound poll because you mentioned all the actors are French Canadian, and there was a reaction because Chang is with Viper. And he's insulting him, but Chang is a man of honor. He pulls out his sword and holds it right to the throat of Viper to intimidate him. And if you go to 604, I'd love to hear Viper's reaction to having a sword to his neck from a man who will kill him.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So that's the voice of Gary Chalk, who you may or may not recognize as Optimus Primal on Beast Wars. You may or may not recognize him as He-Man from the New Adventures of He-Man, where it's all space and sci-fi like. But you guys would not. You would definitely recognize him as a Metalhead from the Deke version of G.I. Joe.
See, there we are.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages. Earth's first line of defense has a breakthrough in space technology. Magnalock. It defies the law of gravity. Activate Starcom equipment. Control Starcom weapons. Figures and vehicles each sold separately. Magnalock, a mighty power for Starcom. A deadly threat in the hands of the Shadow Force. Who will survive? Starcom! Now, back to G.I. Joe.
If somebody's holding a sword to my neck who I know is a master swordsman who might kill me in this moment, Chang, can you play it again for me?
Hold on. I'm gonna give you a little build up so that you get a sense of the context.
Thank you.
Don't listen to him, Morgana. This is nothing but a trick. Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
The drama. This is just that Simpsons guy.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. I'm not gonna.
For all we know,
that.
One was inspired by the other. For all we know. Look, all the warriors are sick. Use it as a weapon. Let's move forward because we go back to the castle. We're going to go back to the good guys now. And I understand that these are college kids. Can you give me a sound poll from 722?
Oh, yeah. No.
You know what I'm looking for here. Vinny Barbarino is apparently on this show.
We're basically, yes, this teen from the future is banging some ancient English lady.
I had a wonderful day with you, Sir Gallop.
Oh, boy, that cockney is... There's something else.
So the thing that's the
any day with you is wonderful.
And it just gets one-upped by the thickest, fakest. Oh,
hey, I'm a New York Italian over here.
So the weirdest part about this show is that somehow nobody in Camelot notices that the knights have been replaced. Including you know, Guinevere?
Hold on. That wasn't Guinevere, was it? That was
just No. That was Kathleen, something like that. Yeah.
And yeah, she wasn't porking the knight who she thinks it. I thought she met him as like, oh, you're dashing for an accent.
I assume.
So I think in this case, there is an earlier episode where those two have kind of a meet cute and start their relationship. So this one's kind of on the up and up as much as it can be. But certainly there are episodes where Guinevere just says things like, oh my, Arthur is acting very strangely these days. And it is definitely implied that Arthur King and Guinevere are sharing a bed.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I was confused because, yeah, I haven't seen the first one. So I assumed that Arthur had stuck around because they were calling him King Arthur and everybody else they're calling like Sir Dude or Sir What's the Fuck or whatever, some other name.
Yeah. Sir What's the Fuck is the one action figure I had from this line.
Oh, good figure. That one. It had Kung Fu Grip. I thought that like all of the other knights besides King Arthur had been replaced by these football guys. And then people were like, oh, that's kind of wild. I didn't realize all of them had been replaced and nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. Nobody noticed, obviously except Merlin. That was
wild.
Incidentally, that was Sir Gallop, the not Vinnie Barbarino there. He was voiced by Mark Hildreth, who was Terry Bogard in the Fatal Fury anime. He was Hiro Yui in Gundam Wing and High Tech in the Spy Troops and Valor versus Venom straight to video things. No, you guys
those
watch.
Are good movies right there.
Do not remember those at all.
I don't That's blame fair. You. How about the guy back at the castle who says, hey, I was studying pre-med. I'm fully qualified in the 5th century to make a vaccine for an illness I've never seen or heard of before.
Yeah, that was a choice. Look, again, I will not defend this show and say that it's great. I just think it's a lot of fun.
He doesn't have anyone to test on. He doesn't really understand this. He didn't even have a conversation with someone with the disease. But in his defense, he was in pre-med, which makes him an expert to make vaccines in the 5th century England.
I mean, in fairness, Merlin helped him. And Merlin is magical and does have knowledge of striking typhus.
And why were all the vaccines different colors in flasks?
Well, they were not. First off, they were not vaccines. Except that this son of a bitch actually says the word vaccine, doesn't he?
Well, doesn't he? I was in pre-med, but I don't have the equipment here to make a vaccine.
It doesn't fucking matter because they already have the disease. A vaccine is not going to fucking help.
You know, every single time one of these rock monsters fell apart, I just turn to myself and I go, vaxxed?
God damn it, yes. Ray.
Okay, great. Okay, so we've made that joke now. I was expecting it. I was waiting for it. It came. That is fine.
And nobody was happy.
Low-hanging fruit is the tastiest.
French Canadians also apparently don't have any fucking idea what a vaccine is, which is fine. They don't come. You don't drink them. They don't come in big Kool-Aid flavors and giant beakers.
They're purple, lime green.
And a fucking pre-med student can't look, it's typhus, something like a flu. For the most part, antibiotics will work on certain things, and other things you just have to kind of like ride out, you know. Like
now if you play that sound clip again, though, Lancelot there, Sir Lance, does say, "I don't have the equipment here to make a vaccine."
Uh-huh. Then if why fucking bring that, it up?
If you keep that playing, though, I think he says he can make medicine.
Our only chance is to come up with some herbal medicine from the gardens.
The way he said herbal medicine makes me think he's looking for weed.
He's looking for weed. That was very clear.
I mean, they'll feel better as a college football player.
Wait a minute.
Of course he's looking for weed.
Do you think it's possible that RFK Jr., our Health and Human Services Secretary, only knows about vaccines from watching this episode of King Arthur and the Knights of Justice? Because that would track.
Can we replace him with one of Morgana's warlords?
I'd like to replace him with this college pre-med student, quite honestly, because this guy works. He's efficient. He gets it done.
So can that's
replace him with Vinnie Barbarino?
Scott McNeil is the voice of Lance there. Also Warlord Blackwing, the one that falls all to pieces later. He has been Proto Man in the Mega Man cartoon. He was Duo Maxwell in Gundam Wing. He was Jimmy Lee on the Double Dragon cartoon. Many voices on Beast Wars. I won't get into that. He was Piccolo on one of the dubs of Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
But for you guys, he was Wrath on an episode on Mommy's Alive, which you guys did an episode of.
Love that show. Great show.
And then in Spy Troops and Valor versus Venom, he was Destro. And okay. On the Deke G.I. Joe, he was Cobra Commander.
See, we liked, I liked Cobra Commander's performance in Deke era G.I. Joe, if I remember this correctly. I don't like what they did with the character, but
sure.
I didn't hate the guy who was playing him. I will give this guy a pass. Only human in our lifetime to play both Destro and Cobra Commander.
Is that a football pun? You're going to give him a pass?
I'm going to give him a run pass option.
Whoa. I'm going
RPO,
to
as we
first
call it.
And down.
The thing is, here's the deal. I'm gonna pull the curtain back. Chan knows a lot more about football than he pretends on this show. He has been over to my house to watch a Lions versus Seahawks game, I believe on multiple occasions, and has displayed he actually is pretty aware of what's happening in the game as he is watching it. Don't fall for this act. I've outed you, Chan. You are a football fan.
He did just say first and down.
Yeah, I did.
It's all part of the show.
Uh-huh.
I've been over to your house to watch a Lions game, so I understand how mentally unbalanced someone can get watching a game with a ball.
Sports ball?
That's the
I don't know what you're talking about right now. This is outrageous and slanderous. I am not known for losing it during football games, Chan. This is salacious.
I've got to see it firsthand, and whatever you have in your imagination of Ray absolutely losing his GD mind, I assure you that you have not ramped it up enough. Just make it crazier and weirder.
No, but I think about it. You haven't come back since that game.
I mean, here's the thing. Have the Lions beaten the Seahawks since then? I doubt it. So, like, what's the point?
To be honest, I'm not even sure. Bad news, me.
Once they become, like, any kind of threat to make a game worth watching.
While Lance is making the medicine, Arthur also asks...
The herbal medicine.
He asks Sir Tone, who is the blacksmith of the group, basically, to make filters for their helmets so that they don't contract the striking typhus.
Yeah, this holds up. Chainmail on your face is going to prevent a virus from getting in.
Well, it's an extra layer because it's the chainmail on the face and then the helmets on top of that.
Boy,
I'm just gonna say they were using face coverings to avoid illness in the 50s.
They were using face coverings, but maybe they should have gone to the weaver instead of the GD blacksmith.
Because
if 90 microns is not chainmail size. That's not how that works.
You know, you say chainmail, but it could just be woven fabric, right? It's just kind of lumpy gray.
No, he literally says it feels like having a
Screen door. Yeah, screen he door does say that.
On your face.
Yeah.
So.
Do you like the fact that even back in the 5th century, people are complaining about wearing masks during a global pandemic? We've come nowhere as a people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
also this dude who breaks the fourth wall, he turns literally to the camera and says, "Look at this dude." And then he gets his ass kicked. And I'm like, what is happening? What is this show?
Yeah, that's also not a thing that happens in this show. Kind apparently of exclusive to this episode. He good job, Chan, on picking the weirdest fucking episode of this show.
Thank you. I don't know if you listened to our podcast at all, but I pride myself on finding the weirdest, most nonsensical episode just based on the Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
Truthfully, you look at thumbnails and say, which one of these has a good chance to be racist?
That is,
and you are often correct.
It's a part of my process. Yes,
it is incredible. Honestly, at this point, look, apparently one of the powers of the Knights of Justice is you can beam your weapons directly off the symbols on your chest and then wield it. And then I guess put it back at some point.
They never really show them going back. They might at some point. It's been a while since I've watched the whole show, but
It's a Care Bear staple.
It's the Visionaries do it in their show. It's a thing that happens. You know,
I don't hate it when the Visionaries do it.
Sure. So why do you hate it now, Ray?
It's fine when these guys do it. Okay. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's fine.
Yeah. Every episode we get Arthur yelling Excalibur, be my strength.
Yeah.
Sir Brick has bricks on his chest and apparently can make little towers with them.
He makes brick walls, which is just weird. I don't remember that. From Arthurian legend, the man of bricks.
Well, he's one of the linemen.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Okay, yeah. He's the Michael Orr of this team.
Yeah.
Or what?
Or the blind side of Arthur gets crumpled.
I am King Arthur.
And we are the Knights of Justice.
But he's not. Every episode. He's Arthur King.
Every episode with this magical girl transformation.
I definitely figured that. I was like, what are they? Oh, this is a... Because they can't put on their own goddamn clothes. They need, the Lady of the Lake to do it for them? Is that who that ghost lady was?
So it's the Lady of the Table. The Lady of the Table.
Go fuck yourself, Andy. That is ridiculous.
I agree.
I gotta go grab a soda. I can't handle this anymore.
That's bullshit. It should be the Lady of the Lake, 100%. I'm thinking the writers of the show probably watched Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail and didn't want some watery tart lobbing scimitars. So instead, it's the Lady of the Table.
Maybe they're worried about getting sued for copyright infringement
on public domain things. Like,
I mean,
you know,
a better reason, because there is no good one currently.
I'm not going to defend this show's quality. What I will say that I appreciate about the show is the balls that these guys had to take the legend of King Arthur and somehow intertwine it with football. It's a big swing. It's a big swing. And they got two seasons out of it.
No, it is a big swing in the game of football, which is to say entirely the wrong sport.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Bo Jackson on Pro Stars does both at the same time.
I mean, it's a swing pass. Unfortunately, it's tackled for a loss.
It goes two seasons and it does not have an ending. So as far as we know, those kids are still stuck back in Camelot.
We got to get Gina on this one. When she's asked for which show she wants to reboot, I think this should be top of the list.
So funny you say that, Ray. There actually is a reboot of this show going on right now.
No, there's
not. As original graphic novels.
Even then.
I wrote this down because I thought it might come up. Mad Cave Studios.
Mad Cave Studios. Okay.
Yeah, they're doing Speed Racer. They're doing The Phantom. They're doing a whole bunch of cool stuff right now. King Arthur and the Knights of Justice.
Now, I will say, you might not know this, but Batman 1966 is currently getting... It's had a big comic book run.
Yeah.
It has another big comic book run currently ongoing. the Adam West Batman series, like, is a title of comic books on the shelf you can buy right now new issues of. And I'll be honest, it's kind of great.
And is Mad Cave doing those?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But I just wanted to talk about it because I remembered that was a thing and it made me happy.
Understood.
Something had to make me happy today, Andy.
That's fair.
It wasn't going to be King Arthur and the Knights of Justice.
Well, yeah. That's also fair. So the first volume of this came out last year. It's kind of a retelling of the origin, but Lord Viper gets killed and Morgana turns one of the knights into her new Lord Viper.
How about that?
Yeah. And then the second volume just came out in June. I haven't had a chance to look. I don't own the first one yet. Maybe. I don't know if I need to. I did flip through it and I was like, okay, this is kind of neat. Second one came out in June. Haven't looked at that yet. Although for Free Comic Book Day this year, I missed it when it happened. They did a special one-off issue that is King Arthur and the Knights of Justice teaming up with the other 90s cartoon from the same time, Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders.
Oh, boy.
Was that the same company?
I don't know, but Mad Cave is doing both of them as original graphic novels right now. So they have the license to King Arthur and Princess Guinevere. Why not put them together?
I mean, here's the thing. I think the concept of the Knights of Justice is absolute bullshit. But I also think that a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court is complete bullshit. The general idea of someone from today going into the past and committing tomfoolery. It's just not my cup of tea. So like, yeah. I'm never going to like this, and any sort of reboot or like, let's do this again, it will seem like a bad idea to me. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad idea. This, we can all agree, is Turd City. But like it could be something good, and I'm not going to be mad at Mad Cave, is it?
Yeah.
Not going to be mad at them for giving it a shot. I feel like there's got to be plenty of other things. Go back and look at all the episodes that we've done. Surely there's another cartoon out there that costs as much to license as this piece of crap that has better ideas to it.
Sure. And honestly, many of the not great cartoons you guys have watched have gotten reboot comics that have gone kind of under the radar. But
by under the radar, do you mean they sucked and disappeared?
Some of them.
To be fair, I say all this. I'm the guy who's been buying the gritty reboot of Space Ghost as it's been coming out. So maybe I have no legs to stand on.
You have never had a leg to stand on, Ray. Why do you think that any of us believe that you had a leg to stand on?
I believe I had honor, respectability at one point.
No, that's Chang in this cartoon.
I believe. So they go back to Chang's butt.
I believe I can touch the sky.
And Chang, you got to eat something.
That's R. Kelly. You can't.
The enemies are here.
Yeah.
Why did he's too sick to fight?
No, Seal did fly like an eagle. Both from the Space Jam soundtrack.
Fly like an eagle is fucking. No,
he did Kiss by a Rose, didn't he?
Seal also did Kiss by a Rose for the Batman Forever soundtrack. Yes,
that's what I know him from.
Anyway. You guys are friends with Eileen. You should ask her about Space Jam songs.
Everyone is sick. And so our enemy villains say, let's send a raiding party and wipe everybody out. Great.
So Arthur, Morgana figures out that Arthur and the knights are going to go get medicine to the Purple Horde. And
real quick, just so you know how difficult it is to come up with a cure for a disease.
Please.
I spent half the night putting this together.
Half the night.
By 2 a.m. he was done.
Had an entire world mobilized to figure out a COVID vaccine that took months. These guys are like, oh, I was up half the night. Can you believe it? And my pal here. Boop, here's your gear.
For the record, Chan, you say the COVID vaccine took months, but that was after like 19 years of research into the SARS viruses that led to only a few months to go to find the COVID cure. It was COVID-19. That means it was the 19th one.
maybe
not
one
what
of
that
them
means at all, Ray.
That's exactly what it means. It was the 19th variation, and it had been around for a long time, and they've been working on SARS treatments for a long time.
It's COVID-19 because that means it's legal now. Before then,
yeah, and in Canada, it can drink.
You know.
What?
COVID-14 was in the Epstein book, huh?
No, you made it not fun anymore.
So there were a lot of weird extreme close-ups in this episode, and I don't know why. Again, Chan picked the weirdest one possible.
Thank you.
No, it was weird. I really like this Chan character, though. I like that even if he's just down, he's going to keep fighting. He has his honor to the end. And finally, he agrees to take the vaccine. The herbal medicine.
Yeah, the herbal medicine that he drinks.
Sword or poison, it matters not. I will die with honor either way.
Before we even get there, though, they sneak around the back way because they want to.
Because the warlords are there. Yeah.
The warlords up in front. Then the warlords figure it out and they attack them back there. They defeat all of the warlords.
Easily.
Why don't they just go around the fucking front door then? Why do they have to climb up the sheer cliff and back? They already defeated the guys who were guarding the front.
I'll tell you, it's
up a mountain either way.
Scene with Chang and then fight scene, not fight scene then scene with Chang. That's it.
They could just do fight scene and then walked. Fight scene.
Walk to Amoeba Records.
Why
that
not?
That was before we started recording, Ray.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. I've referenced it like four times already. Yeah. Keep up, people at home.
Look,
go back in time, listen to before we started recording,
which we're not going to post.
Merlin will go back in time and find the
going to post credits.
I think the point here is that they didn't have the Battlestar Galactica box set, and that's a sadness for us all.
So then the medicine works, and the knights are going to go down the mountain. And somehow the Purple Horde know that they're going to go fight the warlords, and they're like, it's a fight they can't win, even though the knights have defeated the warlords twice in this episode already.
Barely a sweat.
Yeah.
Well,
he drinks the potion, and roughly 3 minutes passes, and our pre-med student goes, I can already tell they're completely over the disease.
Yeah.
No testing, no clinical trial.
He just looks at it and goes,
he's got it.
This is the benefit of having Merlin helping you make medicine. And I don't mean Gina's cat. I mean Merlin Taliesin, like, helping you make medicine. COVID would have been over in 2 weeks if Merlin was here.
Everything about this is infuriating. What are you talking about? COVID was over in 2 weeks. By May, we were barely talking about it anymore.
Oy.
I just wish, because they say something about, this.
Your knowledge of medicine is astounding, Sir Lan.
Like, if they had said, like, with my magic and your medical know-how, together we can create something. Instead, it was like
a
weird fluff job of like, oh, wow, your future medicine is so amazing that we knocked this thing out in like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, if Merlin had taken the lead on this project, I would have no problem with this lore. But it seems like Merlin was just there to hold test tubes while pre-med guy did all the work. And that's where I start going, hey, no.
So that's Jim Burns that did the voice of Merlin. He was Dr. Light on the Ruby Spears Mega Man cartoon. Inferno, the fire ant on Beast Wars. But you guys would know him as Nelson from G.I. Joe Extreme.
I really thought you were going to say The Simpsons, and I was like, I'm pretty sure that's like Nancy Cartwright.
That is, yes.
Who the fuck is Nelson?
I don't remember. there weren't enough episodes. I think there's the same number of episodes of G.I. Joe Extreme as there are King Arthur and the Knights of Justice, actually.
That means there's the same number of Sigma Six and G.I. Joe Renegades episodes as King Arthur's.
Is it 26 for all of them, really?
All of them got two seasons of 13 episodes apiece.
Wow. Yeah, so this show is at least as good as Sigma 6, you guys.
Did I enjoy this more than Sigma 6 now that I think about it? I'm not sure.
Look, the reason earlier where I said I've listened to most of your episodes is because I could not stomach all of Sigma Six. I'm sorry.
Well, here's
I tried.
You know what I'm going to say to that? I'm going to say thank you for going with us for Extreme.
Yeah, I got through Extreme. That was fine. That
Extreme was a pretty good show, honestly. Still the second best property we've seen.
Yeah, yeah. Couldn't do right, Sigma Six again.
G.I. Joe Extreme, pretty good show. Pretty solid.
So then Chang and the Purple Horde, because they're Asian, they have already invented fireworks, I guess. Right? That's
I
a thing.
I assumed.
Yeah.
Have they not used these before?
I believe one of the Purple Horde does use gunpowder based weapons in earlier episodes. So
I'm glad they got there, because I was like, why are you handing them a bunch of metal rods? What are they supposed to do with that? Build a couch?
It's not IKEA, right?
That's what I get from IKEA.
Yeah.
You
get metal rod couches? Anything. How do you sit on them? Are you not just falling through all the time?
You put cushions on them, obviously. Okay. Don't be weird.
Well, they didn't hand them cushions.
Yeah, I know. So I was like, why are we sending the bare bones of an IKEA couch?
It turns out
they're rocket-based pipe weapons.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and then...
They said something about like they're going to go down the hill to face these guys, and then so they handed them those things. I'm like, are those rods that the warlords are going to like slip and roll and fall down? What the hell is going on here?
They used the fireworks in the first fight scene at the opening of the show.
Did they?
Yeah, the thing you thought was an ATV. It was shooting fireworks.
Oh, that makes marginally more sense.
So
again, it's not a good show. It's just a fun one.
At this point, we get into our final battle where I'm not convinced they needed the fireworks. The fireworks just made them OP and made them just walk through the battle. But this entire fight scene is just wall-to-wall basic-ass football references to the point where even I was starting to just shake my head and just get upset.
What do you mean, like? Hut one! Hut two! Hut three!
That's a sports ball reference, right?
Yeah, that is exactly the moment when I got the migraine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. But, and you understood these references. This isn't a Legion thing. This is a...
I understood all these references, and it made me feel worse inside.
Yeah, no, there were three little hovels out back, and so they told them which one the warlords were in. Hut one, Hut two, Hut three.
Oh God!
And that was strategy employed.
I almost appreciate that.
I
don't like that at all.
The weirdest thing.
Jabba was there with his two siblings.
Thank you.
My
podcast, Atomic Monsoon. We just covered the Star Wars prequel trilogy in our most recent episode.
Oh, so
if you want to listen to me and my co-host Master Stephanie talk about Star Wars for 2 hours, you are welcome to do that. It's an interesting dichotomy because she's a little younger, so she grew up with the prequel movies, whereas I was in high school when episode one came out. I was finishing high school when episode one came out, so we have very different perspectives on the prequel movies.
I talk about this a lot because it's a thing that people don't talk about, and I think it should be well known to the younger generations that when Phantom Menace came out in like 1999, or I think that's when it came out.
Yeah, May 99.
And everybody saw it. The buildup, the hype, the excitement was so strong that for about the first 2 weeks after it came out, every single person who saw it said it was the greatest movie they've ever seen, maybe the best Star Wars movie that had been made up to that point. I know what I am saying when I say that. That was common prevalent theory. And then, given like 3 or 4 weeks after it came out, people like me started seeing it, and we were like, actually, this is terrible. This is really actively a bad movie. And then everybody started acting like they were saying the whole time, like, oh, of course we know it's bad. And then the millennials grew up and got a voice, and now suddenly those movies are great again, and I'm here to tell you, shut up.
So, slight spoiler for Atomic Monsoon. I will say, of the three, I think Phantom Menace actually holds up the best.
Shut your mouth.
I just rewatched them all in the last couple weeks. Phantom Menace is maybe the best. Now, I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying of the three, it is the one that 25 years later kind of holds up the best.
I feel
there are better moments in the other movies, but as a cohesive story.
I don't even agree with that. I think the pod racing moment is a top three moment of Star Wars.
Sure.
That's a great sequence.
It, totally.
But I think it's a dog shit movie.
So then at the end of the fight, weirdly, we just get a close up of Chang's face smiling, even though he was not taking part in the final battle at all.
Yeah, he knows what he did.
Yeah. And then there was a weird PSA.
Okay, can we get a... Yeah, Chan, I'm sorry. You have something you really want to say.
Their fucking PSA starts with a title.
Self-esteem.
What the shit? First off...
Can you get the clip from 21 even? Because I don't know how they did it. Because, you know, we had the guy playing Vinny Barbarino. We've had some other insane accents. How did they get Zoolander on this show years before any Zoolander existed?
I calculate the correct angle and velocity for my arrow. When you believe in yourself, you can do anything.
So that's also Scott McNeil, who was Lancelot earlier. He also plays Sir Tone. I guess he's trying to put on a Hispanic accent.
Is that what that was?
I have nothing better.
What is this? A school for ants?
Hold on, we're going to try this one more time, and I'm going to see if I can glean any sort of ethnicity whatsoever out of this.
Yeah, I couldn't calculate the correct angle and velocity for my arrow.
Not a good Hispanic accent, but, you know.
Oh, boy.
I call it blue steel.
When it happened, I was like, you know what? This is terrible, but at least it's a PSA, and it's there just for show, and it is what it is. Take it in the context of the times and what we're doing with the sort of thing, fine, whatever. Now that you're telling me that that's supposed to be a Hispanic accent, I am actively offended.
I mean, I might be the asshole here. I might be wrong. That it may, you know, but
yeah. I mean, it's so bad that it's almost like a made up accent. So I don't know. I should be mad on behalf of every ethnicity.
Sure, that's fair. Also, that's fair.
It's somehow offensive to white people.
No.
That's how rough it is.
Judge that, Ray. You do not.
Look, I can speak for my people.
No, you cannot.
And I'm offended on their behalf.
Your people got a hold of me and you're like, he does not speak for us. Please do not let him say that. We're deeply, deeply concerned.
And it wouldn't be the first time that white people as a group disagreed with me.
That's fair.
Are we done yet?
That's King Arthur and the Knights of Justice. Thank you, Retro Andy, for coming on the show. Tell the people at home all about Atomic Monsoon and how they could find you on social media, because they can't find Chan.
So the easiest way to find me is I built myself a link tree so that whatever social media I end up hopping to, you can follow me wherever. So that's linktree, linktr.ee/retroandyart. You can find me retroandyart.com, retroandyart on Blue Sky. You can find my podcast, Atomic Monsoon. We did, me and some friends used to work at a radio podcast network, and our boss was like, hey, you guys are kind of cool. You talk about weird, nerdy things. We don't have anything like that. You should do a podcast about weird, nerdy things. And we were like, all right, we'll do that. And we did that from 2018 to 2020. And at the end of 2020, we called it quits. Right at the end of the original run, we had both Chan and Ray on separately. Chan and I talked about wrestling. Ray and Stephanie and I talked about old bad cartoons.
Well, that's weird. Why would I know about that?
Right? And we did have Gina on earlier, giving kind of her weird journey becoming a TV writer. And then earlier this year, we were like, hey, we kind of miss doing this. And so Stephanie and I got back together, and she's been coming over. We're not on a regular schedule. We try to do at least two a month.
But yeah, like I mentioned earlier, we just did the Star Wars prequel trilogy. And a few weeks ago, we did the 1986 Transformers the movie, which Stephanie had never seen before.
Wow. So, how about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. So if you like all the weird trivia bits that I gave throughout all here, that's kind of what my show is us talking about things and me doing way too much research about old cartoons and movies.
I'm into that. I'm well convinced that a movie cannot have a Weird Al in the soundtrack and be a bad movie.
Now, does the Saga Begins count as being sort of the Star Wars prequel soundtrack?
It is not officially in the soundtrack, but if you look at it, you've got Transformers the movie, obviously, yep. UHF and sure. Weird.
Uh-huh,
you've got Johnny Dangerously, which okay. is an underrated film.
Sure.
You've got Spy Hard, which I will stand for Spy Hard as a spoof film. I think sure. there's a lot of bad ones, and that one is above average.
Yeah,
we'll agree with and that. I'm sure there's more, but that's all that I can remember off the top of my head. Of those movies are worth watching.
I think he was on the Pokemon 2000 soundtrack.
You know what? I believe you are correct. He did a polka
Pokemon.
With Pokemons.
Yeah,
Pokemon. You are correct. Captain also Underpants a good movie. What's up?
Captain Underpants movie.
The Captain Underpants movie. I'm not fighting any of this. I believe my theory has come correct.
You might not be wrong. I am just going to point out that some of the home video releases, DVDs, Blu-ray special features will include The Saga Begins as part of it. So,
and that's fine. Not okay. official.
Just throwing it out there.
Not in the original end credits of The Phantom Menace.
That's fair.
Because that's it had to come out before he could write a song about it.
He hadn't seen the movie when he wrote that song.
How is that possible?
He went to every leak and message board, like website, like leak website and message board, like rumor mill, everywhere he could to find out all the stuff that had leaked, and basically wrote this plot of the movie in a 4-minute song to Don McLean's American Pie.
Well, I mean, it's one of the best songs. He you know, obviously, you know, me and Chan both just saw Weird Al Yankovic play at the Kia Forum here in Los Angeles. And that is, of course, his eternal encore. Chan, you remember that.
Indeed. You mock me because I had to leave early.
Oh, shoot. Is that what happened?
Is that okay?
That's all right.
With it.
I was unable to get tickets to his Phoenix show because somehow they were like $500 here. Every concert in Phoenix has become obscenely expensive and like unaffordable, and I don't know what is going on.
Ticketmaster is going on.
Yeah, well, scalping is what's going on.
Certainly, Ticketmaster is what's going on. Yeah, yeah. It's the one place where Kid Rock and I will agree is that something needs to be done about Ticketmaster.
Yikes!
Don't say that. You agree on that vest?
Does Kid Rock wear his dad's old denim vest?
I assume Kid Rock only wears his dad's old denim vest, if I can be honest with you.
All right.
That was his dad's undies, too.
I don't do that.
The Flintstones movie. George of the Jungle?
Oh, he did do George of the Jungle.
He did do a cover of George of the Jungle.
Brendan Fraser, I will not hate it.
What was it, the Flintstones movie?
Actually, you know,
that's the Red Hot Chili Peppers parody he did, I assume.
Was that in the movie, though?
That's just it. I don't know that was actually in the movie, but maybe it was.
Anyway,
no one cares about this anymore. We should leave. We've been in their living rooms long enough. Do people have a podcast? Like, people used to have a record player or a TV in the middle of their living rooms. And now do people do that with a podcasting device and sit around on the couch and listen to podcasts? Like, Knowing Is Half the Podcast talks about King Arthur and the Knights of Justice with Retro Andy.
An upsetting number of people just watch podcasts on YouTube, even if there's nothing to look at.
We don't have a podcast on YouTube.
That's a lie.
Well, we haven't updated it in 7 years, at least.
Well, that's true. Also, old episodes of Atomic Monsoon are on YouTube as well. So
you should probably check them out. That's pretty convenient.
Yeah, yeah.
Chan, we should probably get on that.
Wherever you're listening to this right now, you can probably just type in Atomic Monsoon in the search bar and look for the one with Retro Andy and Master Stephanie, and that's us.
Well, go do that, everybody.
That's a long time ago.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." Or, "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it. And we do it all over breakfast, or should I say Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found. We'll be right back.